I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Are you an early dinner eater or something?
No, but I did see you.
Yeah. You're making me hungry. Okay.
I want to quickly add a little bit to that, if that's okay.
We have all the world. Aram se.
Good. No, very important part. And I was working when I was with L'Oreal. I was doing a little project called Beauty Brain with a global digital hub. And the example I used to pitch my idea, and I say everybody should try this out to realize how creepy the internet is. Open the incognito tab and open your normal, you know, so you have two windows, open Google on both of them, search for video games on one, search for pop music on one, all right? And after that, open another tab on both of them and search, just type call on both the windows. Where you search for a video game, your autocorrect suggestion will be Call of Duty. Where you search for pop music, your autocorrect suggestion will be Call Me Maybe. All right, and I used to show this and say that people love Google to search. It's not just because, you know, you get a good result. It's because you get a good result every time and you feel, you know what, this thing always gets what I want. And I was like, if you want to get people onto a platform, we were that time trying to see how can we really change the way makeup is bought online, right? And makeup is sold at stores using someone called a beauty advisor who looks at you and knows that, you know, this is your skin tone, so this color lipstick will work better for you, that foundation will work better for you. Now, how do I get that to happen online? And what Akash was talking about, this was the exact same thing that we proposed, that see what shades do they hover over. Not what they click, but where did the mouse stay for 3 milliseconds more than the other, and start building an intelligent profile.
Nice.
So this is what we were proposing. And now now that data laws are such that you can actually download the data that, let's say, Facebook and Google has on you, many people have that moment of, oh my God, what the hell just happened there? Because it's recorded voice clips, it's understood everything that you do, where you went, everything. And the kind of profile they have built on you, it is so usable for an advertiser. Now, I'm not getting into the ethics and morality of it, but from just purely a marketing standpoint, something as basic as
my marketing and ethics are got nothing to do with it.
I would highly push like what it's called retargeting, Akash called retargeting. Like on Facebook, there's something called lookalike audience, right? You literally just upload 100 email addresses of people who are already consuming your product, and you leave it to Facebook to figure out what is similar amongst all those 100 people. And Facebook will use this 10,000 variables to find out these are the things that are common. Now I'm going to find 10 million other people who have these things in common, and that'll be your audience. And it is retargeting, but in a, you know, using the power of big data, internet, everything. So.
Interesting. But Sukaran, you haven't answered my question to you, which is like, how would you think about any strategy, right? So take anything. So what I'm interested in knowing is, how would you think about, see, from what I got from Akash's, you know, all the wonderful stuff about where the dhanda happens and all of that, which is brilliant. So anything to add to that?
So I'll give a disclaimer before I start off, because I was living with a guy who has a startup in the edtech space. So I'll be sharing some of the conversations I've had with him in this regard, and a Mikan at that, by the way. But so the first thing, and I think Akash started off with that you need a really good product. Like, you cannot pack shit up with a bow and top and hope it'll sell. It does not work. A really good product. And if you want to go in for the whole growth hacking bit, wherein we're saying, you know, I'm not spending $100,000 on ad money. It's all about, one, engaging the audience and trusting the word of mouth. So you're building a system that is so robust. So this startup, for example, is to inculcate reading amongst kindergarten students. That's the very niche thing that they have. But they're like, we want to build a nation of readers, and this is what we're going to work towards. And you have to see that app. It is so engaging. It is gamified. It is something that's, it's got a lot of shareability to it. So automatically, when you're having fun on it, you want to show others. There's a leaderboard. So, you know, if two people are there, they're like, oh, you're not there on it. Like, you know, like, and it, you're getting other people on board. So a lot of it has to do with having shareability to it, which is something that if I were to build a strategy for, let's say, edtech, while, like Akash said, the first thing is content and, you know, the quality of your product. But I think it's really important. And I would love for, actually, I read something and I totally disagreed with it, which was that target everyone. That you know, you want to do growth hacking, target everybody. That's what Airbnb did. And I was like, no, I personally believe that it's super important to understand the persona of the kind of person you want to work with. Because you cannot be for everyone. I say, you know, something as basic as water, where a veen, and you also have a tau, which is volcanic water, and you cry when you pay for it because it's an 1100 rupee bottle of water. Yeah. So you, even something like that has such a massive range. So you cannot be for everyone. Yeah. So I say, get great product, find the right audience, and then use the power that of word of mouth, virality, shareability, analytics, and then kind of just like bombard them with it and then, you know, hope that it sticks. That's how I would go about it.
Wonderful. Thank you. I think both of them were very good and they kind of added to each other, which is fantastic as well. Now, here's, I'm going to give a little preamble to the next question I've got. Normally, VP marketing swaggers about when that VP marketing ka budget badhta hai. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, a growth hacker is known for the exact opposite thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I am utilizing itna chota paisa, but I'm delivering such big results. Now, I believe that is actually what should happen to a VP marketing as well. He has to actually look at impact. How does a hacker fit into the whole ecosystem of marketing where that is coming from a very different place? And maybe Sukaran, you can have a think about it. But what I'm saying is that if you are looking at growth hacking, it comes from a software perspective, test pass, test hard, understand, you know, go back, A/B testing, all of that, right? And then you have this staid marketing, storytelling, this, that, and the other, which is kind of slow and kind of like, we need a big budget. Okay.
Sure. So I'm so happy that I'll again say this is not planted, because I'm so happy you asked me this, because I've been in this situation. Because I work with apparel, and anybody who ties up with fashion a little bit will know there are two seasons that come out. India does not actually have spring and autumn. We just have spring, summer, and autumn, winter. We just bunch it up together, right? So there are two big seasons that happen in the year from a fashion house perspective. Right. And the collection is launched, and then there's the end of season sale. That's how it works. So you have two big things in the whole year, which means you have two big budgets, you know, spend it. We, to change that, to flip that model entirely around, had launched at IOWILS a collection called the Elements, all right? And so we picked the four elements, earth, water, fire, air. And we were like, we're going to launch a collection every 3 months, 2 months. Every 2 months, we're going to launch a collection and push it out. And the idea is, it's limited edition. It's only in the store for like the 30 days that it lasts. And whatever people say has to be immediately fed back into the loop. Yeah. So we built it as a model called the Continuous Innovation Protocol. And we like branded internally very nicely. But when I look back at it and I look at it from the context of, you know, the discussion on growth hacking, that was the sort of, honestly, that was the entry point for us to decide that this is the direction in which Wills will be reimagined for the future. Mm-hmm. So that was where we got the next, I know, 10,000 customers, because for a store to get 10,000 new footfalls, a single store, that's huge. But that's where it was driving, that, you know, bring in something new, see how the market reacts to it, and quickly pump it back. And because it was so experimental in nature, there was no ATL. The whole idea of big budget for a VP actually is, its heart is in ATL, right? That, you know, I ran a campaign worth 100 crores or 20, 50 crores, because you're going to spend that on TV or news. But today, with this whole flipping of one, like what we did there, that advertise only on the internet, only on Instagram ad, only on YouTube pre-roll videos, where you have the ability to target really the right person. So, like, eventually that collection led into something called Fabrics of India. So, like, something like a Kantha. Now, I know not everybody would be interested in a Kantha, but the power of the internet allows me to really target the few people who like Kantha, and I can bombard them that, look, I made Kantha. And that really worked for us. So I think if I got the question that you were saying right, that yes, traditional marketing was always around kitna paisa tumne kharcha, but I think that the future direction is very clear, that how smartly are you spending, and especially today where companies are actually shutting their offices down, saying I can save that money also, why the hell will I? So we're in a completely strange loop entirely.
Changed up scenario. Akash, would you want to quickly add to this, and because I've got an even more interesting question
by you. But that definitely helps me understand. I've got a very bright future with what Sukaran has explained us. So bringing down, absolutely bang on. Whatever he said is absolutely right. Today, there was a time when you needed budgets basically to get people who could think. For example, if I'm launching my ad on a TV, it's a TV ad, I would want people to think how that entire experience should be for my users, because I generally am not available on digital. Say, for example, for a brand, I'm not available on digital. But if a brand which is available on digital, exactly how Sukaran was explaining, you have the ability to target a person basis his interest, basis his past purchases and his past experiences. Now, absolutely. I was shocked to know when I got to know this was a report laid out by an e-commerce company that 95 or 90% of the times when people buy a pen drive, after that, their next purchase is, or in maybe a couple of months, they do purchase a white colored t-shirt. Now, who on earth can think of that without using artificial intelligence or Facebook's or Google's algorithms? It's impossible. You can't just think. Somebody would have been just thrown out of the office if I would have gone and said that, let's sell him a white t-shirt, he bought a pen drive. Or but this is what data...
Man, I don't know.
this is what data says. Like, you would never know. You would never understand. Users would convert. And that is exactly where this sweet spot is. You are using your money efficiently. Today, you launch movies for, say, 40, 50 crores when you have such humongous budgets. But yes, there is an ask. Like it said, no, that tujhe goli ka nahi dena padega hisab, mujhe har goli ka hisab dena padta hai, impulse. It's like that. For every money that you have spent, what are you getting back on table?
Okay, yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
Here's a follow-up question to you, or rather not. I just want to take it to a different place now. You talked of something, I think Sukaran was talking of burn, but I wanted to ask you this first, because you might have seen this. Okay, so what Malcolm Gladwell calls the tipping point. So where, you know, you've kind of done everything and it kind of goes beyond that 10 to 13% and shit takes off. Okay, so what I wanted to figure out is that in your entire bag of tricks as a growth marketer, what do you think typically has done the trick of crossing that chasm?
Understanding, yes. Yeah, I understood your question. If I go anywhere apart from the right answer, just stop me. I think in terms of that specific trick that should be universally acceptable by all the growth marketers or growth hackers or digital marketers is understanding the right audience. Even if it's an acquisition campaign, or it's a retargeting campaign, understanding the right audience. There was a theory a couple of years back that just bombard your audience with your ads. I wouldn't name the brand because I've worked with it, but there was this brand which came up by bombarding you on your YouTube videos a couple of years back. Every video you...
Getting some German guy talking to me on my YouTube, man. Some German, I don't even know German.
Yes. exactly, that happens. I see properties of Dubai and I'm like, okay, there's something very wrong with your campaigns and I need to go, I need to consult you. Let's stop doing this, guy. So, but there was this brand which bombarded its users and they were, and virality just took off. People were not happy with that. You have to have a very controlled frequency of your ads because you wouldn't want to disrupt this. For example, let me take a very basic example of a traditional kirana wala. There's a kirana wala right outside your house. Every day you come from office, or kirana wala tells you, bhaiya paale ji le. Every single day, you would just save your ass. And you would go back like that, that's what happens. You want to have a control frequency because you would want to curate that experience around the user. And that is why I feel audience and understanding the kind of audience is something that pulls off the trick and takes you from a 10% profit to maybe an 80% profit.
That's so interesting. In fact,
I'm just going to write this one down. And next time somebody says, we need more frequency, I'll say, bhaiya ji, parle ji. Because that hit so hard. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry.
So no, I anything to add to that? This 10 to 13%. I'll give you my view. I think it's very aligned to what the audience thing is. Here's what I feel, and maybe you can riff off that. I actually feel that if you target the right kind of audience, okay, which means that people who are also organically going to talk about your product or service on their own, it's and who also have a bit of an influencer element to it, it kind of pushes you across the chasm faster. And I think that's probably one of the fantastic areas that magic happens. Just an observation from whatever shit I've seen in this area. What do you feel, Sukaran?
Honestly, and I have this theory that I try to, and I should just call it a hypothesis because there's no way I have been able to ever test this out. But what I believe and how I try to justify all of this is that, biologically, you and I, we are still where we were 200,000 years ago, evolutionarily, right? And sociologically, we are completely in a different environment.
Yes.
And which is why I say that, people aren't geared to understand brands. People are geared to understand people. And for the longest time, brands have a persona in your mind. So it exists as a person. And therefore, there are some brands you want to be friends with and some brands you don't want to be friends with. So you can have... an Android and an Apple guy together and have them argue about, my feature came first and yours is not as cool. But the truth is that they will stick to what they like regardless of the logic you give them, because you just sometimes like certain people. And I just think it's about expanding that idea that you are, your brand exists as a person. Therefore, there are certain kind of people that you work better with. Find those people and then talk to them in the language they actually want to be spoken to. And it needs so much sometimes just basic common sense and not even intelligence per se. But like for us, I remember we were discussing whether we want to launch this suit, which was about 10x our average price. Okay, so it's a blazer, but it's 10x the price because it was really high quality. And we were like, will this ever work? And the only reason we went with it was because we saw our data and we saw that there were these about 11% of our audience, the Club IDC audience, used to buy shirts every month, which meant the amount of money that they were spending at our store was disproportionately large. And he said, let's just target them. So what we eventually are doing is you're taking the right message to the right audience and speaking to them in the right language, and that is all it took, and it worked so well, and nobody would have anticipated. Just like Akash said, if you had said I want to sell a white t-shirt, you would say what? That doesn't make any sense. But it was the same thing for us. We came with a 10x price point and said, nobody would buy that much, spend that much at a Will store. But it did, because there were people who said, no, we trust this brand. I've been buying it for 10 years. So that it's so important to understand your own brand from that persona perspective and kind of build up from there into who are you talking to, and then kind of fine tune that messaging. So right message, right frequency. Like you said, I'm gonna remember that frequency example for life now. But yeah, right message, right frequency, right audience. There is no way that will not work. And I think that is what that nudge, final nudge is, you know.
Very interesting. Thanks. I think that this probably has been a very insightful thing for me. You guys have yacked away in such a way that I'm going to find it difficult to ask those googlies, but don't count me out. I'm going to still ask you. But before that, I wanted to ask a more relevant question from an audience perspective. If you had to tell someone who says, hey, I'm really interested in becoming a growth hacker, okay, both of you, right? So maybe Akash can go first. What are the skills you'll say, hey, do this, right? So five things.
Sure. But first of all, I'll break the myth. There's a very well-known myth of growth hackers or people who are into growth need to be very sound with analytics, maths. I want to, because I am sure there's a very vast audience that's going to look at this video. I come from a very average, academic background and a commerce student. And I was a person who would just hide Adi Sharma under the mattress so that my parents don't find it. And that has been true. But it's all about marketing and understanding brands. When I understood how I would see a consumer drop off at different levels and understand all these percentages, I loved those numbers. I loved understanding that analytical journey of a user. So number one, if you have to be somebody who would want to go ahead by understanding growth, or who wants to understand how you would want to go or make a future into this thing or make a career, you need to understand that there was a time when campaigns were built. Even today, we call them campaigns.
Yeah.
But I personally feel, and I might be wrong, and people might question me, I personally feel that gone are the days when we used to have campaigns. Now we need to have conversations with the users.
Yeah, yes. I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah.
So if I have the data, if I know what you like, for example, if you like, say, apparel of black, I wouldn't show you an ad which would always say buy, shop now. I'm going to just put out a communication for you. Hey, why don't you try this black t-shirt and just check and just walk around and see how it looks? Because I want to create a conversation with you. I don't want to create a campaign for you. So as a growth hacker, understand how users communicate with brands. Understand the consumer journey. Understand how you go to an e-commerce website, add something to your cart, and don't Flipkart or Myntra to come back to you and tell you that, hey, that denim you bought for 8,000 has come down to 6,000. Today people are smart. My youngest cousin uses an iPad. I got my first smartphone when I was in 11. So people have become smart. They understand how brands have started interacting. So to marketers or to anybody who is planning to maybe understand growth, understand the consumer journey, understand analytics, understand how competitors basically want the space. There are products which have got a very monopolistic consumer journey. Understand how different verticals play different roles. If you start your understanding, if you start your training by understanding verticals like OTT, BFSI, NBFC, e-commerce, edtech, gaming, and then take brands.
Nice.
That'll be the right approach to learn about the market.
Thank you. Sukaran, very quickly, because I'm going to not leave you guys before I ask you the googlies.
Okay. So I have to speak slowly then.
Not going to work.
Okay. No, I think Akash has really covered the entirety of it. I say not just growth hacking, but, because I genuinely feel that a good marketer today has to be somebody who thinks like that, you know, high efficiency, high acquisition. So I think everybody, and for everybody in that space, you cannot start any conversation, any strategy, any presentation, anything unless you have put yourself in the feet of the consumer, unless that's the heart of your idea. So really understanding who you're talking to is super, super important. Everything else is just a tool to help you do it better. So like you said, I agree to that. Like I wouldn't say, disregard data or analytics. I'd say, don't be afraid of it, right? You have access to so much. You don't have to blindly depend on everything, but use that to understand the person you're talking to better. I think that's extremely important to... I can see you don't want to speak anymore.
It's an interesting thing that a Michael is saying, don't be afraid of numbers, and a commerce grad is saying that, yeah, numbers bahut tough hote hai. So it's like... it's an interesting juxtaposition. Okay, so googly number one, maybe I'll give it to Akash. So what I want you to do is, Sukaran has a startup, right? So what would you advise Sukaran to do? He has got an agency of sorts, right? Has got a proprietary model around the ICE premise, right? What would you advise Sukaran as far as growth hacking is concerned?
So I went through what Sukaran does, and I was going through all the projects and everything.
Like a true growth hacker. Okay.
And I feel that for Sukaran, 95% of the business, now this is a kind of business, speaking specifically of ICE, this business is not dependent on volume, not at all. It's purely dependent on quality. And because the kind of stakeholders he has been involved with, the kind of projects he has been involved with, these are multi-crore projects, and there's a lot of AI that comes into the picture. For him to maybe learn more, like maybe understand the parameters which can help him grow better, maybe to first of all maybe create an online community. I would say multiple channels would give him the leverage to the online community, because these are the people who have come to him for something which is not available easily in the market. This is that kind of a service. You don't find it everywhere. So create a community, try to engage the people through maybe very basic re-engagement activities or something that's going to help you increase your network. And again, I would say try to create some digital space, not just to maybe sell your product, but to let people know that something like this exists. You never know for such a service of yours who might convert in the end.
Absolutely. Wow, that's fantastic. Sukaran, here's your chance.
I just want to say thank you, Siddharth, for getting me again free consulting. I'm just so happy this I did this call.
You're going to pay it back. Sukaran, you've been part of our startup and you've been part of corporate life, and you've seen, I'm sure you've seen, where the place where Akash works, right? If you had to give him a quid pro quo piece of consultancy advice on what he observed as a trend that, you know, he could look into, how would you actually say, hey, you know what, you may have looked into this, but have you considered? So anything that comes to mind?
I think the only thing I can add to his experience is that growth hacking has, over the last few years, and again, I'm probably just beating a dead horse because he didn't talk about McDonald's, but I think growth hacking for the last few years has become all about digital and scalability, and, you know, we can add more servers, or look at Uber, you know, they don't really have any kind of cost when they increase the drivers and stuff like that. I don't think that's the ground reality anymore. Growth hacking has pervaded.
No, he's gone again. He doesn't want to give you advice, I think.
Did I freeze? I thought I froze there for a second.
No, you're back. We got you back.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that, a lot of all kinds of organizations today, whether they're brick and mortar, whether they sell online or they don't sell online, everybody's in a place today where they're looking for that, you know, that golden mantra, that how do we scale up without having to, you know, blanket bomb. And that movement from blanket bombing to, very targeted one was born in the digital space, but isn't limited there anymore. So I think that's the only thing I'd say, that all the way down to when I see campaigns running in, the rural India, where they have missed call campaigns and SMS campaigns, and I see something like that happening, I say, wow, you know, that's really sharp targeting. The whole idea of great product, picking the right audience, and then targeting them sharply isn't limited just to a digital space anymore. It has a lot, it's definitely pervaded everywhere. And I think that's the only add-on I can add to it, to what he's doing right now.
That's not bad. Thank you.
No, that's absolutely bang on. That's really right. Yeah.
Okay, so we have, gentlemen, exceeded our time. Thank you so much for being here with me and contributing wonderfully well. I'm sure this has been a fantastic listening experience for everybody who's, you know, kind of tuned in. Thank you so much. All the apologies from me if I have kind of stepped on any toes or anything of that sort. But it's a lot of fun. And I hope that Akash, I get to meet you in real life.
Absolutely.
Over to Maika, and Sukaran and I will meet you. Sukaran, see you again. Painfully jog at some point of time.
I was coming back from the jogs that I'm really upset now. Next time I'm going to see you, I'm going to start running again faster. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.